The tour content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Marcus Aurelius Meditations, Book 9, Chapter 8, and it says as follows. One vital spirit is distributed in irrational creatures. One mind spirit is divided in rational creatures. Just as one element earth is in all earthy things, and we see by one light and breathe one atmosphere, all that have sight and vital spirit. Okay, so plain shot here. Marcus Aurelius is highlighting the fact that all animals, rational and irrational, share a common feature, which is their vital spirit, their life, that we are all biological life forms. But then all human beings share one mind spirit or rationality. So in yesterday's episode, I talked about my recent experience coming to terms with the kosher ice cream truck and the recognition of the humanity in the driver of that ice cream truck, which kind of fits into the second half of this reading. Today, I want to share with you an experience I had on Sunday, which focuses on the first half of the reading. So as I mentioned, we had a yeshiva rafting trip in Pennsylvania, which was a couple hours away, and we were driving back in the evening, and somehow a fly got into the car before we left Pennsylvania, and I was driving back with a friend, and I noticed the fly, but, you know, it was flying around in the car, and whatever, minor annoyance, and then we kind of both forgot about it, and then about an hour and a half or maybe even 2 hours into the drive, quite far away from our departure point, then my friend in the passenger seat opened the window and really quickly and then closed it. And I said, did the fly out, or did you just let the fly out? And he said, yes. And I said, phew, you know, that's good. Like, now I don't have to worry about there being a fly in my car. And you know, the annoyance that comes with that. And then I kind of jokingly said, I'm sure the fly was also really happy to get out, you know? And then it hit me, and I expressed this verbally at the time. I said, it just hit me. What is this fly going to do? You know, like, the fly is from Pennsylvania, and we've been driving for 2 hours. And it was from this, you know, green, lush area on the Delaware River. And we just let it out in the middle of, like, New York on a highway. What does a fly like that do? I mean, and I was verbalizing all this, but like genuinely asking the questions for the first time. Like, I have no idea. If you're that fly, where do you go? Like, what do you eat? Where do you go? Where do flies go at night? Are there? And this betrays my ignorance about flies. But do flies have like? Are there like groups or colonies or like families? Like, are the species of fly that are on the Delaware River also indigenous to other parts of New York? Like, is this fly going to be able to survive, you know? And I had just never thought about the fly like that before. And it struck me as, this is a very interesting thing that I am identifying with the fly. You know, I can't say that I've ever identified with a fly before. And this was not something that was like a planned mental exercise of putting myself into the shoes of the fly. Well, they don't wear shoes, but putting myself into the, you know, the consciousness of the fly. This was just a spontaneous realization. Now, I suspect, again, because I've been reading Radical Compassion. Well, actually, I hadn't started Radical Compassion on Sunday, so I guess that's because I've been reading Radical Acceptance and thinking about, I don't know, I guess the ideas of compassion had been on my mind. Maybe that's what prompted it. I'm really not sure. But it happened, okay? Now, if you pause here, you will, you can say that this is a realization that is, I guess, without Torah content, for lack of a better term. In other words, these were just natural questions that I had, okay, about this fly, and who knows where they came from, okay? But then, as I was thinking about it, I recalled, this was after the trip, after we got back, so I recalled a Radak, commentary of the Radak, Rav David Kimchi on two psukim in Tehillim Kuf Mem He in Psalms 145. This is psukim 9 and 10. So, tov. So the pasuk says the psukim say tov Adonai la kol v'rachamav al kol ma'asav yoducha Adonai kol ma'asecha v'chasidecha yivarchucha. So Hashem is good to all, and His mercies are upon all of His creations. That's pasuk 9. And then it says in 10, Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha, all of your works acknowledge you, gratefully acknowledge you, or admit to you, v'chasidecha yivarchucha, and your pious ones will bless you. Okay, so the redak on that first pasuk says as follows: Tov Hashem lakol, Hashem is good to all. Afilu lemine hachayos v'habehemos v'haofos hu tov umarachim, even to the types of wild animals and domesticated animals and birds, He, Hashem, is good and merciful. V'chein roi la'adam lalechas b'durachav eleh, it is likewise proper for a person to follow these paths. A person should not destroy life for no purpose or without a need, or to protect himself from their harm. And we also find ki Rabbeinu Hakadosh, he's here shifchaso shlo lesof achuldos hakatanos im domen habayis ela tanichim lios darim beikari habayis. And we also find that Rabbeinu Hakadosh, that's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Judah the prince, who compiled the Mishnah, he warned his maidservant to not gather up the small weasels with the refuse of the house, but rather to leave them to dwell in the rafters of the house, or in the roots of the house. Amrla, and he said to her, V'rachamav al kol ma'asav k'siv. The pasuk writes that God is merciful on all of His creations. So let me just quote that Gemara inside. So this is a Gemara in Talmud Bavli, Bava Metzia Daf Pei He Amud Aleph, in Bava Metzia 85A. So it says, Yomachad hava kancha amse de Rebbe Beza. So one day, the maidservant of Rebbe, of Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, was cleaning the house. Havashadya b'nei karkushta v'ka kancha lehu. So she was sweeping up the, there were b'nei karkushta, which seems to be young weasels, lying around, and she was sweeping them. She was in the middle of sweeping them up. Amarla, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi said to her, Shavkinhu, leave them. Ksiv, it is written, V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. It is written in Ashrei that His mercies are upon all of His creations. Amri, and they said, and I think the they here is in the rhetorical sense, that it was said about him, Umarachim nircham ale. Since He is merciful, then we will be merciful to Him. Okay, meaning that since Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi exercised mercy on these animals, then he will be a recipient of mercy from heaven. Okay, so you see from there this idea that that Hashem has mercy on all of His creations, and this is something that is talked about a lot in Tehillim, that Hashem provides all creatures with what they need to survive, and takes care of all their needs, and if the animals that are weak and defenseless, He gives them defense mechanisms to protect themselves from their enemies, on a species-wide level, not on an individual level, And since we are commanded to emulate Hashem, and Hashem is merciful on all His creations, so too, we should be merciful on all animals and not destroy them unless there is a need or unless there is a harm to us. In other words, we as the higher species on earth who have been given dominion over the animals do have a right to take their lives when necessary, either necessary for our protection or for our benefit, but we should not do that, and the default should be to exercise mercy. And in doing so, we're emulating Hashem. And as a result of that, that aligns us with God's hashgacha, with God's providence, as the Gemara says. Okay, but then the pasuk goes on and says, the redak goes on the next pasuk of Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha, all of your works acknowledge you, Hashem. Now, the problem with that is obviously only human beings. Human beings are the only creatures on earth who can acknowledge God. So what does it mean that all of your works acknowledge you? So the Radak says, Yoducha, af mine ha'chaim she'en b'hem das, even the types of animals that don't have knowledge. Okay, so how so? Mitikun yitzirascha b'hem, from the structure or the design of their formation, v'hachanas mezonosehem, and the readiness of their food, the fact that God prepares their sustenance for them, yoducha ha'adam ha'mevin behem, then the man who understands them will acknowledge you, will acknowledge Hashem. V'harehim ki'ilu yoducha, and it will be as if they are acknowledging you. In other words, man is the only creature capable of understanding and contemplating God's creations. So when he recognizes how God provides for all of his creations and how he designed them, then he's using those creations as a vehicle for acknowledging God. So it's as if they themselves are giving hoda'ah to God, or giving grateful acknowledgement to Hashem. Okay, and then he says, the Radak goes on and says, V'chasidechi varchucha, that's the last half of Pasuk 10, and your pious ones will bless you. David Melech says, Umihim hamodim, who are the ones who acknowledge you? Ha-chasidim, the pious ones, shehare mizbonanim tami b'masecha, they are continually gaining insight from your creations, or contemplating your creations. V'him yivarchucha tamid, and they are blessing you constantly. Ki b'chol es v'ro'osam ha-chidushim ha-mischachim tamid b'yitzirim v'atikon asher b'chai uv'tomech yivarchucha. Because at all times, they're seeing all of these new insights constantly in the creation and in the design of these living things and in the plants, they will bless you. V'chein tiknu razal bracha l'chol davar k'fi inyano. And the rabbis of blessed memory created blessings on each of these things according to their matter. Okay, then he says, Kamosha Amru Haroi Kach Mavarch Kach Amar Vachasid. Okay, fine. So they made different blessings. Vamra Vachasidecha ki kolash and chesed hu yisron hadavar. So the reason why it says chasidecha, your pious ones, is not because it's talking about piety in ethics, you know, like going beyond the letter of the law. It's because chesed means some sort of additional or excess here. And he says, Vahmiz Bonim Tami Bamasekel. And these are people who continually contemplate the work of God. V'yivarchuhu tamid b'chol es hisbonanam. And they bless God constantly whenever they are involved in this contemplation. Heim ha-chasidim. They are the pious ones in this case. V'amru b'zal, ha'iman d'bayi l'mihavi chasida l'kaim mile d'brachos. And that's what Chazal mean when they say that if someone wants to be pious, he should fulfill the principles of brachos, meaning that he should be involved in this type of seeking out opportunities and to acknowledge God's chachma and chesed and rachamim and tov in the creation. Okay, so why did I cite that long-winded radak? So again, I don't know where my recognition for the fly came from. Maybe it's because I've been learning Tehillim a lot, actually, now that I think about it. I haven't been learning Ashrei, but like, you know, I think it's I think it's a combination of the radical acceptance and compassion that helped me to be more in touch with myself, and therefore to then see outside of myself, plus the awareness of Hashem in the world that I've gained through learning and teaching Tehillim this year. And it led to this weird moment with the fly. But the reason why I'm bringing this up in this context is because I've mentioned a lot about how the practices of Stoicism and of radical acceptance and of IFS and all these other things I've been involved in this year, those practices are useful tools, but they're not attached to content, you know? And I think the difference between just identifying with a fly versus identifying with a fly in the framework of this is the creation of Hashem, and thinking about how the fly fits into this new environment that we released it into, and realizing that all these other flies are provided for by Hashem in all these other ways. I think this is a good example of like how if I had this insight but didn't have Torah, the insight would have taken on a different direction. You know, it would have either just remained in this purely emotional form of just identifying with a fly, or it would have led into some imaginary framework, you know, or mystical framework. But the fact that I have Torah as my foundation, that allowed me to use this observation that came up in this seemingly random way, but then to naturally connect it to the insights of Torah and to the practice of saying Ashrei every day. Now, I mean, I hope when I say Ashrei mindfully and I get to these two psukim, then the fact that I had this experience with this fly will enhance my kavana and an understanding of what I'm saying. So just wanted to share that experience. Who knows what Marcus Aurelius meant when he said that he wanted to recognize, you know, the common vital spirit in all creatures. It's possible that he also had this idea, I've seen writings in the Stoics where they acknowledge similar ideas, but it's also possible that he lacked it because he did not have Torah like we do. That is it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today and would like to support my production of even more Torah content, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/rabbishneiweis. Link is in the description. Tomorrow's episode, which is going to be Friday, I will talk about my summer plans for this podcast and my other tour content. So stay tuned. Thank you to my listeners for listening, and thank you to my patrons for supporting my efforts to make tour ideas available and accessible to everyone.